use every opportunity that you got, because there are millions, if not billions, of children around the world that would love to have what you have.
Welcome to Lunchtime Leaders Podcast. Today we will be interviewing Cobus van Wyk, who is the head of the Kanya Project. The Kanya Project was established in 2001 by the Western Cape Education Department in South Africa to provide computer technology to schools. The objective was to use the technology as an illumination tool during the curriculum delivery process. Welcome, Cobus. So how are you today?
Hello, I'm fine, thanks very much, and thanks for inviting me onto your program.
Well, thank you for coming. So how was your trip to Europe?
Oh, it was wonderful. It was a lovely break.
That's very good. So are you at all nervous?
Slightly. I mean, you are cooperating, so I'm slightly nervous.
It's okay. Well, even though we're sort of new to this, we're not nervous at all.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Okay, our first question is, how do you identify which schools will participate in the Kanya Project?
Well, we select schools on the basis of poverty. We have many poor schools, and so it's to schools with no technology, that are very poor, that will never be able to afford to buy their own. But we also look at schools where the management of the school is quite good, where they've got a good principal and where good teaching and learning is taking place. And those are the schools that we would select first.
Have the students ever had any other experience with technology?
Very little experience. Some of them might have, if they're fortunate, might have a TV at home, or some of them may have cell phones, but very few of them have ever had any contact with computer technology.
That's very interesting.
The Kanya Project is responsible for putting almost 25,000 computers into schools. What have been your greatest challenges in getting the needed technology into schools?
Well, schools were not built to have computer facilities. And so when we go into a school, we have to identify a room and we have to prepare it. The infrastructure has to get be prepared. Very often, no electricity, there's no furniture to put the computers on. So there's preparation that has to take place. Then we install all the technology. That is part of the whole job, is to put the computers in and to network them and to link them to the internet. Then the big task starts, and that is to train the teachers, because like the learners, the teachers themselves had no contact with computers before, and many of them are fairly scared of using technology, because the children normally would learn faster than their teacher. So one of our biggest challenges is to change the mindset of the teachers and get them to understand how they can use computers as a teacher learning tool.
What impact will this have on the students you're helping?
We are focusing on using the computer teachers to help them to improve in their schoolwork. For the primary school children, we focus on basic literacy and numeracy. Our children, unfortunately, in our country, has got one of the lowest scores in the world when it comes to literacy and numeracy. So using the computer technology to help them to improve in those skills. And in the near school, we concentrate on subjects like maths and English and science to improve their ability in those subjects. Now, so far, the results have been outstanding. It's way beyond our initial expectations, where learners improve their reading ability, improves their general mathematical and scientific things, even the use of language, English language is improving. So well, we are very satisfied with the results to date.
It's really great.
One of the goals for the Kanya Project is to prepare students for knowledge-based economy of the 21st century. Using the rule of four, what are the most important skills students need to succeed in that 21st century economy?
Well, I would say that the first, the ability to read. And you may think it's very basic, but if you can't read, then you can't take in knowledge. If you can't read, you can't go onto the internet and you are reading. So reading skills are extremely important. Also the ability to communicate what they learn. The communication skills are extremely important, and particularly when it comes to global communication. If you just consider what we are doing here at the moment, I'm sitting on a different continent, on a different hemisphere than you are. I've told the world what I'm doing since my blog, and then some about this, and we discovered that we've got similar interests. And the next thing, I get an email from you. I've never spoken to you before. This is the first time we're talking, and never seen each other. And all the arrangements for this interview was made by means of email. Now we are using Skype to communicate, and you're going to podcast that. Now, those, all of those things that I've mentioned, they're all communication skills that people didn't even know of 10 years or 20 years ago. And those are the skills that the learners need today to be able to succeed. That's part of the knowledge economy, to be able to assimilate knowledge, and there you need the basic skill of reading, and then to communicate that again in different ways.
How many schools have you helped so far?
1,000. We're just touching on 1,000 at the moment.
Wow, that's really amazing.
How old are the students you are exposing technology to?
From 5 to 18. We have many primary schools. Children here go to school when they're 5 years old, can't even reach over the mouse. And then we take it up right up to the school.
The project has spent already nearly $30 million American dollars. Why not spend the money on school libraries or more teachers?
Well, we could. There's a need for that as well. And the education department decided to take a portion of the funds for technology. They realized that on the African continent, we are way behind the developed world. I would say as far as private schools, you are about 20 years behind yours. And so to be able to compete with a global, yes, it's important for more teachers. It's important for planning for these things are made as well. But there must be a balance. And so it would be wrong for the department not to spend money on technology as well.
How do you get funding for your program?
We have a budget from the government. They provide funding for the project, a big basic. With that, we can do a certain amount of work. But we've also formed public-private partnerships. That means we go out to the private sector and we get donations from them and contributions in cash and in kind. So there are many private organizations. I've seen the result in the work, and they want to support us. Even now, I have some international donors that are supporting the work that we do, and it just helps us to do that much more and to provide more technology to the learners.
That's really neat.
What is the balance between school, the balance school should have between teaching content knowledge versus focusing on students' ability to learn, adapt, and grow?
That's a really interesting question. A couple of years ago, in this country, we moved to an outcomes-based education system, so-called OBE system. Past, a big focus on knowledge, learning skills, and how to handle information. Now, initially, it caused a lot of confusion because many of the teachers interpreted this OBE to mean from now on, no more content, and that we're only going to focus on the skills. So they even did away with textbooks in some of the subjects. Now, I believe that there should be a healthy balance between the two, that while it is important that learners learn how to use information, how to analyze information, and how to grow and to adapt and learn all these skills, that's important. But they do need a base knowledge. And so you can't really do the one without the other. So to me, the answer lies in a balance between content, but also in the building of skills.
Tell us a little about any changes you foresee in the use of technology in school in the next 5 to 15 years.
I believe that the major change that will take place in schools as far as technology is concerned is the use of mobile phones, cellular phones. You know, a cell phone today is as powerful as a computer was 10 years ago. And a person can do anything with a cell phone. You can go on the internet, you can send emails, you can use all the product processing, spreadsheets, it's just a wonderful tool, and it's easy to use. You can carry it with you. So while at the moment, many in our schools, learners are dependent on sitting in front of a computer, you have a cell phone that you can carry with you, then of course learn.
Are South African schools utilizing cell phones now?
We're only starting to. Many have, but no other way they managed to get a cell phone. It was developed here in South Africa initially, because they realized that many of the people won't be able to afford a contract. And so so many of the people here have cell phones. But of course, the usage of it, we're only busy with how it can be used as an instrument to access the internet and to access learning material and so on.
What was the best learning educational experience you have had or seen with the Kanya Project?
Oh, we had many experiences, but one that stands out of my mind is I visited a school in a very poor area, in a farm area. There's lots of farm workers, laborers. It's an apple growing area, and this school, the smallest school, it serves the poorest of the poor people, kids that can't even afford shoes, that have broken clothes and come there. And so I visited the school to look how they, to see how they are using the computer facility. And I noticed that there's one little girl that's very clever. The other children, they're still busy with their exercises, and she's finished long before them, and then she moves on to the next one. And she's very bright. And so I spoke to a teacher and says that, that girl looks very bright. She's very clever. So I went up to her, and she was about 9 years old, and she looked at me with big eyes, and she says, "Sir, I would like to work." And, to me, that was very meaningful coming from her in her environment, because most of the people that she know, her parents probably are unemployed. So all that she wants out of life is to be able to work. I then asked her what type of work she wants to do, and she said she wants to become a policewoman. And I thought that was quite cool, because we need some intelligent police people too. But to me, the insightful thing was that for a person in her environment, her community, just to be able to have a job is the big thing in life. And then I thought that if our project can only help that little girl, then it would have been worth it.
That must be very rewarding. When we're done today, what's the most important takeaway message you'd like our teachers and students to hear?
Well, your students, I'm sure that many of them are in a very fortunate position to have very well-resourced schools. Just thinking about the technology that you're able to do this interview, all the skills that you've got. So I would say to you learners is use every opportunity that you got. Because there are millions, if not billions, of children around the world that would love to have what you have. And as far as your teachers are concerned, to them I would say, don't ever complain about your conditions of work, because you've seen nothing yet.
Thank you. And that's all the time we have for today's show. We would like to give a big thanks to Cobus for the interview, and to everyone who stopped by to listen live or is listening to our podcast on their iPod while scarfing down a $5 foot-long Subway sandwich. Goodbye.